This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, we have reached the lucky number. Or unlucky number, if you're Daniel Bryan. Or anybody that likes Bo Dallas. Welcome to episode 13 of your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I am your host, Scott Criscolo. We have got a fantastic combination of guys tonight. We have the core two. For the first time in history, I sent two to the Sid room. Mr. Reich will not be joining us tonight because, well, his per word capita by month, it's like leasing a car. He only has a certain number of mileage, he has a certain number of words. So I had to sit him. And Jordan Duncan couldn't make it because the lesbians from 2002 picketed outside the studio, and because he hates Divas matches, they won't let him in. I think they're throwing oranges and, you know, literature at him. So, but let me bring in the core two, and then I'll introduce our guests. We'll begin with my favorite person on the planet. He is a... Well, is somebody doing the heavy breathing anyway? All right. My favorite person on the planet, he is a contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com. He is also purveyor of Marvel.com, and Guardians of the Galaxy is right around the corner, Mr. Ben Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Criscolo. Pleasure to be here, and thank you for getting rid of the riffraff. It's really nice to have. And by the way, I can tell you by watching the audio monitor on my Skype that Aaron George is doing the heavy breathing. Sorry to spoil
who?
Mystery guest.
All right, I'll introduce him next then.
Yeah.
All right. Replacing Jordan Duncan is my favorite Canadian on the planet. Met him for the first time. He's been on, of course, the show many times. And met him face-to-face for the first time at Money in the Bank, and he is an outstanding gentleman and a scholar. And he was at Raw Monday night at the Bell, so we'll talk about that briefly. And he doesn't like working with spilled soda, and he knows what I'm talking about. Mr. Aaron George.
I don't know where I can go from there. Thanks. It's great to be here, guys. It's fantastic. Don't spill the soda.
You're awesome, Aaron. Next up, the other member of the Core 2, contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com, many things, and I think he's missed the most for various reasons, main events, so we definitely needed to have him on without Jordan Duncan, who likes to hog all the limelight anyway, but the lesbians won't let him in, and he's going to get me my Jervis Cotton Belly t-shirt. Mr. Steve Willey!
So if Jordan and Reich are getting the Sid treatment, does that mean we get to look forward to Jordan stabbing Reich with a pair of scissors?
Yes, they're getting trashed at a bar right now talking about who's the better, who has the more words per minute on main event. So, and yeah, and then he'll go to WWE, then he'll go to another podcast and tank it like Sid almost did in 1995. So, Mr. Willie, a pleasure as always, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And also joining us tonight, his second ever appearance on a Place to Be Nation podcast. Of course, I've talked about him for 3.5 years be on, and it happened the week before WrestleMania because Mr. Morse was hammered on Bourbon Street. This guy pinch hit for him. He was my original co-host on the original main event back in 2009 to 2011. Holy crap. Wow. Johnny Reckless. Welcome back.
What's going on, man?
Did you enjoy the 20-second trailer today?
I did. Very nice. I'm looking forward to it.
Final season of Sons of Anarchy. By the way, I'll talk about it more when we start the second segment, but of course, PlaceToBeNation.com is having, we're having our World Cup of TV Characters tournament, and I am, speaking of Sons of Anarchy, very disappointed in one of the brackets, and I'll tell you which one later on in the show.
Are there any Sons of Anarchy characters in the brackets?
Oh, yeah, Jax. Jax is
where I know I voted for him when he was.
It's in one of today's. It's in one of today's. But
he's not doing well.
No, he's not. And neither's another guy on that ballot that I am more than definitely pissed off at is not. But then somebody that has probably no business being on it at all, and I'm sure I'll get crap for it, and I don't care. is in that bracket. So
that list has just shown me I watch completely different shows from like everyone else on Earth.
I agree with that too. Yes, I do as well.
What's the Coach Taylor situation right now, Scott? The update?
I have to double check that with Mr. Rizzero. I have to look. He better be catching up. But we have to make sure that besides Coach Taylor, we have to make sure every 90210 character. So vote Steve Sanders. And actually a new 90210 guy I think hit the bracket. I think Brandon.
Yeah, today.
I think Brandon hit the bracket today. Yeah, Brandon hit the bracket today. So anyway, we'll talk about that later. Tonight, guys, fascinating topics. One of them, Ben, you brought up, and I think we'll definitely talk about. And Johnny, this is right up your alley. And then second segment, we're gonna do a similar game that we played a few shows ago, with the NXT roster. We're gonna do it tonight with the WWE roster because we do know, guys, we are pretty much at exactly the halfway point of 2014. We are through 6 pay-per-views. Place to Be Nation has been en masse in almost all of them. I don't believe anybody was at Payback. I'm still trying to figure that out, if anybody went to Payback. But we definitely had Place to Be Nation representation at the other 5, including I was at 2. So it's been a great half year. And we'll talk about in the second segment what we'll do with the roster. First off, though, very briefly, I don't want to belabor it because it has been a week and a half. I want to go around the horn, other than, of course, Mr. George, who was with me. The 3 of you guys watched Money in the Bank on TV. Let me start technically with you, Benjamin, because you and I constantly at the war with Xbox. Did you watch it, and how was the feed?
I did. This was the best the feed has been. I will give credit where credit is due. Xbox has been and the WWE Network have been slowly but surely climbing up. I was just watching Clash of the Champions 7 before we started.
Oh, I'm up to that one on my NWA viewing, actually.
So we're in the same place.
Yeah.
So it's been much better. It's not perfect. It's not ideal. But I was able to watch most of Money in the Bank. I watched like the first half of the show, no problem. Actually, there were not technical problems. There were marital problems in that my wife came home and didn't want to watch wrestling. But it was okay because then I picked back up with the main event. So I think
house or something. Isn't she happy? God,
I know, right?
House or something.
What do I need to do? but I watched. I think I stopped between the 2 Money in the Bank matches. So I saw almost everything, and the feed was pretty good. Went out a couple times, but hey, all I ask for is consistent improvement month over month. As long as they're getting there, as long as they're working at it, I accept effort. So I enjoyed watching it, and I had a good time watching the show.
Super, super. Johnny, did the posse get pissed? Mike throw anything at the screen? How was John and I usually watch the show when I'm at somewhere. Him and I usually at our buddy's house watching it, so I usually watch most of the pay-per-views with him. How was the feed? Remember, I was at the house for Payback. I remember Payback was a little shaky towards the end, if you remember. How was it Sunday?
Same deal. The feed was good until the main event, and then it got a little jumpy. I don't know. I'm curious if people are just coming in to watch the main event, which causes a bandwidth problem. It could be anything, though, or it just could be Mike's Apple TV.
Interesting. If you can boost your audio a scoosh, John, it's okay to talk loud. Trust me, I have Risha here almost all the time, so talk as loud as you can. Don't worry about it. Willie, did you watch it? How was your feed?
Yeah, I was participating on the live chat.
That's right, you were on the live chat. Yes, that's right.
I have to admit, I basically fell asleep after the Money in the Bank, the first match. what I did...
That's funny.
What I did see, I loved my feed was great. Didn't have any problems again with it. Since I've got the Roku little stick, I have not had any problems at all.
Okay.
If I watch on my computer, it lags, but I think that's more because of my computer than anything.
Okay.
And loved the first ladder match outside of the finish, and really enjoyed the Usos Harper Rowan match a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah, I am so caned out. Oh my God, am I caned out? It is just getting out of hand now. Go run for something. All right, go run. I thought you were running for the Senate or something. Whatever, just do it. Mr. George, you and I were in the house. We were in the hub, otherwise known as the TD Garden. Energy wise, I mean, let's admit we were pretty stoked. Our crowd,
yeah.
Fantastic.
Hot crowd.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, the pop that Cena got when he won was maddening.
Was ridiculous. Yeah, it was like going on here?
Where are we?
That's what makes me so mad. And this might be another discussion for when I need another topic. Maybe this I want to talk about this. The hypocrisy of these Cena haters who get all pissed and boo him when he comes to the ring, and they hate him when he throws the shirt and all that. And then the minute he wins something, whether it's one of the belts, the place goes bonkers. It just gets louder, and that means that, you know, you get caught in the moment like a real wrestling fan is acting like a jerk. So that's if you're going to hate Cena 24 hours a day. If you love Cena, love Cena 24 hours a day. But don't pick your spots. That's ridiculous. That was crazy, because that pop was nuts, right, Aaron? He grabbed
crazy.
the coat hanger of belts, and the place went nuts.
And it was deep.
Yeah.
It wasn't a high-pitched pop. It was like a,
Yeah, it was like a, you know, so I'm just tired of the, well, again, maybe that's a discussion for another show about the general hypocrisy of a lot of these Cena haters who will boo him when he comes out because it's cool to if you have testosterone to boo him, and then maybe cheer him when he actually wins. Wow, it's fireworks outside my house. Was it WrestleMania? Weird. Now, let's talk quickly about last week's Raw was really good. This past Monday's Raw from the Bell Center, which you, of course, were at, Mr. George. First of all, your overall live thoughts of the arena on Monday night.
It was really interesting because the Montreal crowd is usually pretty hot, right? You're pretty hot and hyped up.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find we're not ahead of the curve, but like we're usually on, like we were on Batista in 2004.
Right.
Like we're on RVD in 2001, you know, like just a little bit before they break out. And
on healthcare in the 90s.
Yeah. The 1890s for that one, actually. But,
not according to Brett in 1997. You take care of your old people.
The sad thing is we don't. We just leave them to die. Like, I was a little surprised by the lack of reaction for some people,
mm-hmm.
Especially Cesaro. I'm sure we're going to talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
But the crowd was pretty hot the whole night. The show from the live perspective, I mean, anytime I don't have to hear Michael Cole, it's already a good show for me.
Well, yeah.
But it was all wrestling in the building. And so the show for me came off really well, at least compared to the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But the last one also ended with Jerry Lawler having a heart attack. So
that's true, too.
Nowhere to go but up, right?
The
show live was good. It was fun. I don't know how it came across on TV, though, because I haven't watched it back yet.
I got gathered from it, and of course, check out my Raw recap on PlaceToBeNation.com. I felt formatically it was a little herky-jerky. I'm curious to see what you other guys think. Johnny, I felt like the format was like they went to break at weird times. Matches were like funny lengths. Like ones you thought were short would be long. Ones you thought were long would be short. What did you think? I felt like the show was – in fact, on our text thread you and I usually have with Mike, he thought the same. And normally I think he sometimes jumps the gun a little, but – I have to say, I partially agreed with him. I thought the show was a little kind of lacked an A to B flow. What did you think?
Well, I agree with you, but it might be by design because it seems like they've been playing with the format a little bit lately to keep the show fresh.
Right.
I don't know. Like the past maybe 3 to 4 weeks, I've noticed where, you know, it jumps around a little bit and maybe they just didn't. They had maybe some pacing issues this week.
Uh-huh.
That's what I got, but I agree. I thought overall the show was good, but it did have some odd pacing to it.
Mm.
If I could just throw in,
go ahead, Aaron.
Like,
yep.
Like even in the building, like towards the end, we were all tired. Like, and I have not seen that happen at a Raw I've been to. So by the end of it, like we're all like, all right, like it's time to end the show. Which is rare.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Willie, did you watch it? What did you think?
Yeah, going in first off, for what Aaron said, when I went to the Raw in Green Bay after Elimination Chamber when they launched the network, I mm-hmm. completely felt the same way that Aaron did. It was, gosh, like 4.5 hours long, the show. By the time let me rephrase, it was about 4 hours mm-hmm. by the time everything was said and done. And even indies don't really do that anymore. It was just too much after a while between the pre-show and the taping and all that. In terms of the format, I've noticed that the last couple of weeks, what Johnny said, And I think that is maybe a concerted effort before, you know, there was talk that Triple H was upset with the flow of the show. And you can usually, I usually watch it back on DVR. And you can time when they are going to go to break. Generally, in a longer match, it happens when someone does an outside dive to the ring or the action tumbles to the floor. You know that's when they're going to take a break in a long match. And I can almost predict it like 5 seconds ahead of time to fast forward to get through it faster. And they were cutting in matches the last 2 weeks for sure at different times. I want to say one of the top of the hour matches, and I can't recall which one it was. Cut out really early, like about 1.5, 2 minutes into the match, went to break. It's just something different.
I think it was might have been the main event. Didn't it seem like the Cena Rollins match went quick?
Yes, I think that was it.
Yeah. I felt it was a little odd. I thought the combination, but I've also noticed, and I mentioned this in my review. I feel like the last couple weeks they've been a little lazy booking Raw from the matches since. Because how many times in the last 2 weeks have we heard on a rematch from SmackDown? When the fuck does Raw ever have rematches from SmackDown? Pardon my French. I mean, it's like, really? It's usually the other way around. SmackDown usually has the Raw rematches. We're not stealing from taped shows. I just found that very, it seems very lazy, but.
Yeah, and on the laziness too, like, it's like, I find the wrestling we're getting is good, mm-hmm. but there's nothing memorable happening.
Right.
In any of the matches. And none of the matches are great.
Well, one match is great, and they're actually going to, I think it's going to be fantastic at Battleground. The Usos and Rowan and Harper are pure magic right now. I mean, they are really dialed in on each other in the ring. And apparently.
You know,
oh, go ahead.
No,
who,
no.
Was, go ahead, Ben.
No, finish your thoughts, Scott.
Oh, no, I was going to say, and now at Battleground,
right.
we're going to have 2 out of 3 falls, which rocks.
Picking up on.
That harkens back quickly before I say before you say that. Yeah. It just harkens back for me, Brainbuster's Heart Foundation from SummerSlam '89. It's gonna be fantastic. Mm-hmm.
I totally agree.
I think picking up on a thread from our last episode and touching on all the stuff you guys just said, it's interesting that the tag division is going full bore right now. The Usos, Wyatt stuff is great, and a lot of areas outside of the main singles are fine. But I think, like we discussed. I think they're off plan in the main event, and I think it's rippling down through the mid-card as well. I think basically the reason it feels lazy, the reason it feels repetitive is because we're on cruise control until SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
They know where they're going from SummerSlam on because I think they've figured out a new plan.
Right.
But I don't think they filled in the pieces between now and SummerSlam. I think basically they've said, all right, you know what? Screw it. We're sacrificing Money in the Bank through SummerSlam. Mm. It's why Cena won. It's why we're getting that match. That's why you see things like the tag division is continuing as it would have anyway. So it's fine. The Divas division is continuing as it would have. It's fine. But the main singles roster is just kind of, not even bad, just like you said, lazy. Just kind of bland because they're working off book.
And I have to make a correction. I want to correct myself before I know someone will, and I think you guys know who I'm talking about. I know, Heart Foundation and Brainbusters was not 2 out of 3 falls at SummerSlam 89. I'm confusing that with when the Brainbusters beat Demolition for the titles. That was 2 out of 3 falls.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Scott, for making that mistake.
But and you know what? Because I'll get, well, you know what, Aaron? I'll get corrected by certain people. And
McGinn?
No, he wouldn't even know to correct it.
McGinn doesn't even listen.
He's ordered to. All right. But yeah, I definitely think Raw is kind of in a holding. Although last week's Raw was really good. The Raw the night after Money in the Bank I thought was great in Hartford. I mean, obviously the returns were nice. Jericho and Miz. And then we had the somebody. Who's the other one that came back?
AJ.
Oh, AJ coming back. Those spots were cool.
But again, I feel like that stuff, like, I feel like Jericho's return has probably been planned for a while. So again, I feel like it's the stuff that they had planned is going fine. It's just the scramble. It's the scramble in the main event and in the mid card.
And in a lot of ways too, it's not a bad thing, I think, because anybody else they would kind of like they don't want to rush anybody else, right? That's why we got Cena, and that's why we got the safe choice. If they rush anybody else, it might mess them up. So in a lot of ways, it's kind of good that they're doing it this way. It's just not super interesting to watch. But
no, that's what I mean when I say they sacrifice between now and SummerSlam. They're sacrificing the short term for the long term, which I agree with. It just means we're going to get a sucky short term, but that's fine. That's it's the lesser of two evils.
Since we're not going to have a show next week, just by the way the week's laid out, we will not have an official Battleground preview. But before we get to our good first segment topic,
We go on, can I just add one more thing about
Raw? Go ahead.
That I noticed. And I'd like to know what you guys think about this too. Because I have no issue with the PG era. I think it's fine, right? But would you guys would agree that John Cena and Midget Mantor, those are the people geared towards kids, right?
We'd agree. I love how you took a main event Hall of Fame guy and the midget.
Well, this is why.
And it fits.
They're the same. No, but because it's the second time in a row I go to Raw, and at around 10:30 at night, I see kids all decked out in Cena gear asleep in their parents' arms. And at this Raw, the last two segments were Bo Dallas versus Midget Mantor and John Cena. And if those are your people that are for kids, right? I get that he's the main eventer, right? But if these are your kid people, why are they on so late in the show?
Cena, you have no choice. You have to put him late.
It's funny you bring that up, Aaron, because I was actually listening to Steve Austin's podcast this week. I don't know if you guys listened to the Vince Russo one, which is aggravating as
Oh, you mean little through. Johnny Russo? Good job there, Miz.
As aggravating as it is to get through, it's also he definitely has a lot of information. The one thing I think he made a good point on is he kind of said the same thing, Aaron. He said, I get the business aspect of the PG era, but you still have a show that runs till 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
And why are you booking for kids from 9 to 11? It was interesting, but it's kind of the same point you just made, but it stood out to me when he said that.
Yeah, I don't know. The second time in a row I've left Raw, I've seen these kids disappointed leaving the building because they're too tired. And I just feel sad. And I don't want to feel sad when I'm watching wrestling.
I know. Yeah. You don't have to have Cena in the last match. You can have him between the end of if you want to go in the 8-9 match. He doesn't have to be in the main event per se. When you're a champion, you kind of have no choice at times too, though. You know?
Saturday night's main event used to start with Hogan sometimes.
Yeah, but that was at 11:30 a night already.
Yeah, I see it, but I think there's something that can be done.
I don't see why there couldn't be. It was just easier. I think it was just easier to book Cena in other aspects, other times of the show when he was just him. Yeah. I noticed a lot of the Bray. Did you notice, though, that from January through, May, the Cena Bray Wyatt stuff was never in the 10 o'clock hour. Very rarely. It was never last. Most of it, obviously, with Daniel Bryan and the Authority and Orton and stuff, but Bray and Cena almost was always between 9 and 10, maybe seeped into quarter after 10. But otherwise, Cena and Bray were always between 8 and 10. So I will say that.
That was because it was the big story. They usually tend to do the storytelling earlier on in the evening.
Right, exactly.
And then do the match with possibly a surprise at the end.
Yeah.
And I would also argue that I don't think they're capable of thinking of that. I don't think they... First of all, I don't think that the show is PG. I think that's just PG in name only. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally not even remotely approved, but Roman Reigns was swearing during the first opening segment. They're swearing during the whole show now. They push that envelope. Raw is not PG. The movie Frozen, that is rated PG.
Yes.
So what if you're
good, let me finish.
And so, it's PG-13. I think the term PG era is, kind of, first of all, it's kind of lame, but, it's not true. It hasn't been true for the last few months.
Right. What do you think, Johnny?
Yeah, there's definitely a push towards more, it's not total adult, but I think PG-13 is kind of the right description. They've moved away from PG. I want to say probably last maybe year slowly, and you're starting to see it now where there's not. I mean, wasn't Twisted Tea one of the sponsors last week?
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, so go figure. Are you selling that to kids?
Well, that, and then they used to sell. Remember they used to eat the fast food at the table, but then of course Lawler almost died, so I don't think they really stick Sonic in their faces anymore. So But that's interesting. I think that's something to pay attention to, that Cena is obviously a very popular kid-friendly guy, and that's why they made Slam City for the network. I mean, have any of us watched a minute of that show? Absolutely not. Why?
I have.
Not. Did you really?
Yeah.
I watched a couple episodes.
No, Johnny, I could see because he's probably playing beer pong and has a buzz on, but Ben really?
No, I have a reason. It's because I work on a Marvel stop-motion animation show, so I wanted to see what their version was like. It's all professional.
Mm-hmm. Any good?
Did you wait until someone else said yes before you jumped in, Ben?
I just felt I'd been talking too much. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Aaron, you're the best. You are my favorite Canadian. All right. Let's quickly brush over Battleground. Obviously, not every match has been announced yet. Has anyone seen the poster on Wikipedia? It's awesome. It's Bray in the spider position. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I saw it. It is cool.
All right. We can go around the horn for this because we're not going to talk about it completely. I bet you Bray Jericho ends it. The only three matches technically confirmed are Bray Jericho, the Battle Royal for the IC belt, and obviously the four-way. They did add the two out of three falls. And what was the other one they added? Did they add AJ? They added AJ, right? AJ and somebody?
A lot of it was, it's going to be AJ Page if it's going to be, but I think a lot of stuff was SmackDown taping stuff, and there hasn't really been a comprehensive report yet.
Yeah, they won't do that yet. So yeah. Let's just talk about those big three. My guess is Bray and Jericho will end in a schmoz because they'll probably want to push that to SummerSlam, make that a big gimmick match. We'll start with you, Willie. Cena keep it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. John?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, no question.
Okay. AG?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Benjamin?
Kane. Nah, yeah. No, Cena wins.
Even the George Demon King would say something so stupid.
I got to fill the void.
No, you don't.
Okay, fair enough.
I got to put up with the two of them in 2 weeks when you're not here.
Have fun.
Okay. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know if I'll bet this host seat on it because I may get screwed if that happens. Bo Dallas is not
gonna say
winning the Intercontinental title. I don't care what you say, Ben. That prepubescent puberty voice cracking hump is not winning the Intercontinental title. Not. I don't care who else wins. I don't care if Doink wins. I don't care if Bastion Booger wins. Bo Dallas will not.
That'd be an interesting choice to go with Bastion Booger.
Yes, I know. It could be. I don't know. They could find somebody that looks like Mike Shaw.
Poor Ross Greenberg.
Poor unhealthy bastard.
Yes, great Ross callback.
Oh, by the way, Willie, on a side note, wait till we get to the 95 Raws. It is just Mulletville back and forth in 95. Of course, we're talking about our Place to Be podcast, Raw specials, which definitely check those out, too.
Highly enjoyable.
Yeah, episode 321.
Yes, but at work I have to have it up because it's one of our clients, and they usually do a Raw in the morning. And they're in 95 now. In fact, they're coming up, I think, on WrestleMania 11. And oh man, the jobbers—it's just mullet city. We'll be very tough voting mullets on that show. Anyway, let me see who the official people are in this battle royal. Let me see.
While you're looking, Scott, like with what you're saying about Bo Dallas, I don't think he was going to win it either. And my theory after watching Raw this past week is that he might be going into more of a heels comedy type Santino role with Santino leaving.
That's why I think he's going to win. I think he's going to be Honky Tonk Man 2014.
Oh, somebody put a bullet in my mouth.
Yeah, I think he's going to win too.
Yeah, you know what sucks? Because no one else. You know what sucks? No one else in this battle royal. He may actually win. Son of a bitch.
No one else makes sense.
Alberto Del Rio's not winning it.
It is possible, but...
Del Rio? I don't think so. Big E may win it back.
They're off the Big E train for the time being.
Cesaro, he's got bigger fish to fry. Curtis Axel, Jesus, no. Does Sandow, no.
Does Cesaro really have bigger fish to fry right now, though? Like,
but he's already won the U.S. title. He's due for bigger thing. I don't know.
Like, I think if they were gonna change the nature of what the belt is, like if they were gonna maybe use it to make someone dominant, then maybe I can see Cesaro winning it. But
we've said that with every guy.
Wait, why not Fandango? Fandango could win the belt. He's been on a lot lately.
Because Bo Dallas is what Fandango was a year ago, but better.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, he is.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
No, I'm telling you, Fandango is a heel gimmick designed to get under people's skin, a la Honky Tonk Man, but not be taken seriously. No, Bo Dallas is the exact same thing, but the crowd's more into him.
And more annoying.
Yep.
No way. No way. I can't see it. Oh, my God. If I had to bet this seat, I know which one of you guys picked to sit here. Good luck with that. Be one of like 80 people. All of them don't deserve it. All right. So there's Battleground.
Wait, who is it going to be?
We'll talk during the break.
Yeah, good idea.
We'll talk during the break.
I thought you meant who's the Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, no.
Jeff Jarrett. There's a TBA. There's actually a slot. Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, it is Jeff Jarrett.
Steals the IC belt to Global Force. No. All right. We got some time. We still got a lot of time here in the first segment. Let's bring up this topic.
Wait, you have a TBA in the Battle Royal?
Yeah.
What if they hotshot Zayn in there?
That would be cool.
Yeah, that's one way to bring
Who
him.
Else? Who else is ready on NXT right now?
However, though, given what we're hearing about all the scuttlebutt about they're so disappointed with all the NXT call-ups, do you really think they're going to bring someone up right now and give them the belt?
How can they be disappointed with all the call-ups, though? Well, how many call-ups have there been?
Well, they're saying
Adam Rose is – and we won't belabor this part here, but Adam Rose is all their fault. They have no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah. It's weird because they're usually so good at producing stuff, but the production for Adam Rose is all off. Like, the way that they play his music when he wins is not how it should be strongest, you know? Like, the way that the people run into the ring, like, there's a way to do all that perfect, like with more energy, and they just don't do it. And it's weird because they've always done well with that stuff.
And the other guy, the other thing that pisses me off is, why isn't Rusev in this Battle Royal? Why? Who gives a shit about Jack friggin' Swagger? How did Rusev last Friday on SmackDown not accept Sheamus' U.S. challenge, beat the snot out of him, take the U.S. belt, and change it to the Russian heavyweight title?
Because here's the thing.
WCW.
Here's the thing, Scott. That'd be a good gimmick, but I think, and this is actually a good thing for your boy, is that they're thinking with him right now is, if we're not going to have him win something, we're not going to involve him. So if we're not going to have him win the U.S. title, we're not going to put him with
Sheamus. Well, they should have had him win the U.S. title.
I know, but I'm saying if he's not in the Battle Royal, the reason is because they're not going to just put him in the Battle Royal and have him not win.
Oh, speaking of Sheamus, he's the U.S. champion. Yeah. Why is he in this Battle Royal?
I mean,
what is wrong with these guys?
Scott, I feel bad that your aggravation is amusing me so much. I feel terrible.
Why is everybody sleeping on the job? God, this is so lazy.
And why isn't the Intercontinental belt seafoam? Why isn't it not seafoam?
I wish we had a seafoam. Johnny, you would love that. Seafoam icy belt. Sean 94, baby. John would have the ropes barbed wire. That's all he would do. All right. Ben, why don't you throw out, because we got about 15 minutes for a break. Why don't you bring up this topic? Because this was your genesis. Bring
sure.
up this question, and let's chew on it, because I love this idea. Go ahead.
Well, what got me thinking about this this path was really Roman Reigns and how he's clearly been earmarked as the guy by the company, but also has been accepted very quickly. It got me to thinking about the idea of company-made main eventers versus fan-made main eventers. And if you look at really the top guys going back in the 80s, in a simpler time, you know, when there was no internet and times like that, guys like Flair, Hogan, Warrior, Savage, they would get put on top, and we didn't really question, you know? They just kind of became stars. Not taking anything away from any of them, certainly. But, you know, there was never a rejection period with any of those guys. The closest I can think is maybe Lex Luger didn't get totally accepted, but at one point it was basically the company made the stars. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, it transitioned much more into you could try to make a star, but really the fans were the ones who were getting people over.
Right.
Whether it was Brett, whether it was Shawn, whether it was Austin, whether it was Mankind is a great example, Goldberg. These are all grassroots guys. These are guys the fans cheered and then the company got behind them. And the ultimate example to me is of a combination of the two is when Rocky Maivia started, he was supposed to be the company's next guy, mm-hmm. and it didn't work. The fans didn't accept it. He went back. He tweaked his character. He got over on his own. To an extent, John Cena did the same thing. Didn't work as a white meat babyface, found his gimmick. And then in recent times, it's gone completely in another direction where the fans have to make the guys. Guys like CM Punk, guys like Daniel Bryan, the company actively sometimes seems like is working against them. Mm-hmm. But to me, Roman Reigns is such an anomaly in the fact that the minute he got on TV, we knew this was a guy who's the prototypical, stereotypical Vince Triple H guy. He's big. He's a good-looking dude. He works a power style. He's mm-hmm. related to The Rock. It mm-hmm. seemed like he would be the type of guy who the internet fans would reject. But they didn't. He's a unique talent. He's so charismatic. He's gotten over. And he hasn't even had to go The Rock route, where he bypassed his Rocky Maivia period.
Right.
So what I'm throwing out there is, you know, for discussion, now that I've kind of said my piece, is the idea of the fan-made main eventer versus the company-made main eventer, and where does Roman Reigns fit? Is he perhaps the first guy since the Hogan era where the company made a guy and the fans are just universally accepting him and there's agreement?
Let's talk about Roman Reigns for a second. Roman Reigns, when The Shield debuted, when they came out at Survivor Series 2012. The reason he was accepted early is because it wasn't him per se, because he was the only one of the three nobody knew. Everybody knew Seth Rollins from Ring of Honor when he was Tyler Black. They knew him. They knew Dean when he was what was his other name?
John Moxley.
They knew him then. They knew him. I knew you'd remember John. John Moxley. They remember, they knew them. They were the indie guys like Punk, like Daniel Bryan. So the fans are part of the fan base, liked those two, and Roman Reigns kind of went along for the ride. But it was like, oh, but you know the company thought those two guys were too bony, and Roman Reigns was Rock with longer hair. The thing was, being in The Shield that long, and because The Shield was ridiculously awesome, He got that too. So I think it was organic and non-organic at the same time. I think that's why. I think he was accepted because he was with those other two guys, and those other two guys were fan indie guys. Let's talk about a few other guys like that. Let's talk about John Cena for a minute, because he really didn't, in an era where it was all about Orton. In 2004 and 05, it was all about Orton. Orton was their baby. And Cena, I guess sometime probably through the middle to the end of 2004 is when I think Cena saw in him a guy who, this guy is going to be the future of the company. Busts his ass. We almost fired him in 2002, that he was milked toasty and useless, and now WrestleMania 21 comes around and he's WWE champion. Then he fell off the map and fell out of favor, and really it's been 50-50 since probably 2006. I think a lot of it too, let me ask you this, Aaron, lot of this too goes by the guys these guys are facing. Like when Cena won the title at 21, everybody loved him. He was fine. Everybody hated JBL. Most people hated JBL. And then the awesome I Quit match at Judgment Day that year. Then he fought Jericho. But Jericho, everybody was 50-50 on. Everybody knew he was leaving in summer of 05. So nobody was that upset. It switched to Cena when he feuded with Kurt, because everybody likes Kurt. And that's when it changed. And that's when everybody realized, wow, this guy can't wrestle. And it took a lot of time for people to kind of swing on Cena. Aaron, what do you think about that?
I would agree with what you're saying by who he faced. I think the problem's a little deeper than that, though, because as good as Cena is, and as good as he's a flag bearer for the company now, mm-hmm. he doesn't have that universal acceptance like an Austin or a Hogan
right.
or a Rock. And so that means they have not created – that level of guy since The Rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the problem is that if you look at every time they've almost every time they've transitioned main eventers throughout their history, it's like when we went from Backlund to Hogan, Hogan kept wrestling, Backlund went away. When Austin took over, he kind of took the torch from Brett and Shawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
They both went away, and so the focus was all on Austin.
Right.
Right.
Well, the situation there was Backlund left because Vince Jr. thought he was – that was a Vince Sr. guy. That was his dad's
yeah.
boy.
Well,
and by the time the change of the product, he was a – you know, he was yeah. this milky guy who had no personality, and Vince Jr. was not in the mood for that.
Well, regardless of why they went away, they did go away.
Yes. No, so you're right about that.
Yep. It left this vacuum, like, and then a person could come in and take over. Now, when John Cena became a main eventer, no one went away. You had Batista at the same time, and you had the old guard still there, the Triple H's and the Ortons, I guess. And there's probably a couple other guys in there, too. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Cena was ever presented as – not that he wasn't presented as the number one guy,
right?
But he was never presented as better than those people. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's like oh, John Cena, and this is not a knock on Triple H, and I'm going to get you mad.
No,
but it's like, but it's like, oh look, John Cena's really great, but look, Triple H too, he's still really great, and so you never had a chance to shift it, and I think that more than anything killed him. And yeah,
that's interesting point.
Yeah, there's the character that hasn't changed and is lame and is boring. And I think just the general thing, I think they've forgotten how to make stars, like big stars. Because like people get over on their own, or like I'm scared for Roman Reigns now. Because like there's a guy that has this potential, right?
Right.
But like right away, like it's like they can't write mid-card storylines anymore for whatever reason. So right away he's in the title match. He's not gonna win the title match, right? Like I can't imagine he'll win the belt till maybe WrestleMania, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But is could you imagine like Austin being in like important title matches like that right away, and not winning them for like 5, 6, 7 months?
Right.
You don't get someone over like that.
Yeah.
And that's what they do with everyone now.
Hmm.
It's because they can't write like it's like normally like if like let's say Roman Reigns right now, instead of being in a title situation, if he were in a blood feud for the next like 3 months. Like, you give him something to do, you keep him over, but you don't have to beat him. And to me, that makes sense. And we'll see what happens. Like, I'm a little worried, too, because it's probably going into the feud with Triple H. And, like, no one really leaves those feuds better than they came in.
Oh, he will there.
I'm hoping.
He will there. And you know, it's a good point you say that, too, Aaron, because he's been in back-to-back title matches now, and he didn't have to get pinned in either of them.
Yeah. But that's
not an accident that he was in the ladder match where he didn't get pinned, and he's gonna not win the title at Battleground and won't get pinned. I'm sure Cena will probably pin Kane.
Yeah, but eventually even if he's not getting pinned, it's gonna hurt. I think it's gonna hurt his credibility. Like eventually,
I don't know. All right, well, it's good opinion. Yeah. I don't know though. I'm gonna bring up another guy, Ben, that goes along with your theory, and Johnny, I'm gonna throw him at you. A guy who. The company wanted to put the company – a guy who the management wanted to put the company on their back, and they failed. The fans still loved him, but they failed. Brock Lesnar in 2002. The company loved him in 2002, obviously, because he debuted the day after WrestleMania, and 4 months later he beats The Rock clean in the middle of the ring in Long Island to be world champion. Beats Taker in a cell, beats the snot out of him in a cell. And we just did this. Justin and I just did this vault. The reason he lost at Survivor Series is because he was hurt. But apparently it had to do with Hogan and some other jazz. But then they turn him face in 2003, big win at WrestleMania 19. And then as 03 progresses, it gets... And then they end up returning him heel in 2004. He's gone. Would you consider that a failure of a main event guy?
No. I don't think Brock failed at that point. Brock failed when he walked out in 2004.
Right.
I actually know two wrestling fans that became wrestling fans because of Brock Lesnar. He had a certain appeal to him.
Yes, he did.
I think they failed with it's really when the I want to say it's the brand split, but not really. It's when they started to not create one solid main eventer that was above all else. And I think it goes back to when Austin walked out and then The Rock decided to leave for Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that Vince had put everything behind these guys and they kind of just left. So I think at that point on, he started creating main eventers almost on an equal plane where none of them were bigger than the other, because none of them in Vince's eyes could become bigger than the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Brock failed as a performer or as a character or anything like that. I think it was the shift in booking that has even hurt Cena to a certain extent.
Hmm.
Of yeah. That no one is allowed to reach that Austin level.
Well, and yeah, and if I could just add to that, John, like it's like, it's that's the problem with pushing everyone up to the main event too fast and then having them fall out of it. Is that, like, in the old way, you had people ready. Like, when Hogan had to go away to film whatever god-awful thing he was filming, Savage was ready, you know? And he could come up and take the place and then go. But now, when one of them falls down, it's because they don't book the mid-card, no right. one's ready, and we're kind of screwed.
Right.
I think I think both of these guys are making, before you move on, though, Scott, I think both Johnny and Aaron are both making a really interesting point that I didn't think of in my early thing, but they're dovetailing perfectly, that the brand split and there not being one flag bearer for the company and Vince getting paranoid, it all really does kind of segue together into why there hasn't yeah. been an Austin since Austin. And I didn't really think about it this way, but you guys are really making great points in the fact that, you know, Cena never had the chance to be the one guy because there was always the other guy on SmackDown, and a lot of that, like Johnny said, does seem to be by design, which also brings, you know, back full circle eventually after I'm really enjoying just hearing everyone talk, so I'm trying not to interrupt. But the fact that Daniel Bryan was supposed to be, or Roman Reigns could end up, now that the titles are unified again, being that flag bearer for the company that we haven't had in, God, over a decade.
Yeah.
And I wonder how aware they are of it, because, like, it's like, in 2006, like, not just Triple H, but Triple H, Kurt Angle, like, even in their promos, they're telling John Cena he can't wrestle, right? Like, could you imagine anyone telling Hogan he couldn't wrestle? Like, it makes him look weak, and it just...
Because the truth sucked back then, that's why.
Yeah, I know, but it just serves nothing. It serves nothing. It's like they've forgotten that, like, you got to present them as special if you want them to be special.
Right. Willie, any thoughts? What do you think?
I think we're underselling how popular John Cena truly is, though. John Cena is not popular with people of our age, just like Hulk Hogan was not really that popular with people of our age back then. I work with adolescents and kids for a living, and you know, pretty much all of them know who John Cena is.
Mm-hmm.
Is he Austin? No, of course not, because Austin was someone who is a, you know, kind of a once in a decade type guy who appealed to everybody. He appealed more to teenagers and adults because the whole storyline was go against the boss, which was the first time that had been presented in the WWE.
Right.
Or really in wrestling in general, to that extent, one guy against, you know, the machine. I do agree with, you know, the attention being split. The other thing, and Johnny kind of alluded to this, was, you know, when you bring guys up, like, you know, back... You know, where your guys are at in the vintage vaults in late 2002, you're talking about Orton, you're talking about Cena, you're talking about Kane. It's 12 years later.
Right.
Orton and Lesnar, another guy, remember the talk when they won the titles was that they are so young. They are the youngest champions. Well, they were like in their younger 20s. Well, they're still going to be viable as athletes for, you know, well over a decade to come. You know, you guys got guys like Hogan, obviously, Flair, who, you know, lasted way longer than that. Mm-hmm. So then what do you do with them?
Right.
If you either give them one off and then, you know, have them, you know, go off into the sunset, or you're going to have to do something with them for the next, you know, Randy Orton's still young.
Yeah.
Lesnar went off and did other things, but, you know, Randy Orton's younger than I am for sure. It's what, like 33, 34?
You know, for for Brock, getting back to Brock, I also think Brock was just mentally not ready. I think he still was very immature, and I think he thought that when you get elevated like that, you stay that way.
Like, oh, sure. He's pretty much fresh out of college.
Yeah, and when he lost the belt, you know, when he won the belt back at from Angle in late 03 when he turned heel, I think he thought he'd be like the champ forever, and I don't think he wanted to lose to Eddie at No Way Out 04. I think he wanted to go into WrestleMania as champion. And when he found out that no, it's time for you to start, you pay back what you deposit, what you withdraw. And I don't think he was ready for that either. So one more guy and then we'll take a break. Another guy a few more examples I have. Ultimate Warrior. I don't think anybody really thought in 88, even though he had the physique, that his character could be a main eventer. And meanwhile, by late 89, it's like, wow, this guy's getting pops like Hogan. And, you know, then you had WrestleMania 6. And one more point about Cena that you talked about, Steve, with kids. And I'm not picking on him by any stretch because it was a cool shirt at the time. But when Cena was feuding with Big Show and he was getting to WrestleMania 20, he had passed the whole – well, he kind of passed the throwback phase to a certain extent. But we were at a Raw. Justin and I were at a Raw in Bridgeport. I think it was the go-home Raw. Remember that one, John? The go-home Raw? With when
Mania 20?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember
we
were there. And the Word Life shirts, the ones that had the old W, you know, it was the WWE logo, but it was the old block logo.
Yeah, I've got that shirt.
Justin bought that shirt.
It's a great shirt.
You ask him now, 8 years later, he would be like, I can't believe I bought a John Cena shirt. But at the time he was still pretty cool.
It's his binky. He still sleeps with it.
I was going to get his daughter a Cena paper. But things changed by like 2008, 2009. And you also have to figure that Cena's always feuded with guys that everybody else likes more. Kurt Angle. Edge.
Punk.
Punk. All guys. The only guy that's a little more polarizing is Orton. Orton's 50-50. Depends on what he's doing at that moment. I kind of like him as a face better than a heel. I can't believe I just said that, but I actually kind of like Orton as a face. I think he's a whiny pussbag as a heel. He's like Sid 95 when he's a heel.
I think when he turns face, we complain he's too boring and needs to be a heel.
That's true, too.
I think it's just a grass is greener situation.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but in his defense, though, when he's a face, they never do anything with him.
No, he's always buried the mid-card. He's only a main eventer when he's a heel. He hasn't been a main event face, I don't think, ever. SmackDown. Well, don't forget
2004.
Well, yeah. Well, 2004 he was like upper mid card, but the brand split helped him there because you know remember he was feuding with Christian and he was able to win the world title on SmackDown. Yeah. So he had the brand extension kind of helped him a little bit. Anyway, why don't we take a break? We'll have to pick this discussion up another day because it's fantastic. We've only scratched the surface. When we come back though, we're gonna have a fun little game. We're gonna break down the WWE roster because we are in the halfway point. And we're going to talk how their first 6 months have been and what their next 6 months bring. We did this with the NXT roster to a certain extent as well. This is Place to Be Nations Main Event.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week.
We'll be right back.
PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here. PlaceToBeNation.com.
Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do.
So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vanderberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point, here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, well, be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar. Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation fans, to PTBN's main event, episode 13. I am Scott Criscolo. Awesome roundtable today. Ben Morse, Aaron George, Johnny Reckless, Steve Willey. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. I want to pimp the awesome World Cup of Television Characters Tournament. Hop there every day. We throw two new polls, pick four out of eight so we can put together a compact tournament bracket. Now, this is where I was a little disturbed. One of the brackets today, in fact, I think I have it still up. One of the brackets, no, I don't. But one of the brackets today, two of my favorite, and let's be honest, guys, two of the more well-known television characters of the last 15 years. Now, mind you, they're both cable, although one is not is free cable, but two of the best characters on two of the best shows of the last 10 years. Jax Teller from Sons of Anarchy, Johnny, you and I, our guy, and Drama from Entourage. That's my guy. I love that. Drama's my guy because he's the oldest. I had somebody to relate to. They're both losing right now. They're not in the. Neither of them are in the top four, okay, in that bracket, in that set of guys. Do you know who number two is? Brain from Pinky and the Brain.
Ugh.
Are you kidding me?
This is devastating.
Do that many people like crappy cartoons? And that cartoon stunk, my personal opinion. Now, Doug, that's different. No, I'm just kidding. But, right, was that that cartoon in the late, in the early 90s?
Yep. Doug, I got your back on Doug. Yeah, that's a good show.
Doug wasn't bad, but Brain from Pinky. Seriously, I would have been happy with either Ren or fucking Stimpy over Brain from Pinky and the Brain. Both beating Gax Teller drama. I am stunned by that.
Would you accept Babs and Buster Bunny?
Absolutely not. What is that? Some Canadian cartoon?
Come on, that was Tiny Toons, man. That was a great show.
Tiny, they're toony, they're all a little loony.
Yeah.
None of them are better than Jax Teller drama. And if any of you try to think so, then I can eliminate this entire roundtable. Okay.
Before we get back into wrestling, let me tell my Jax Teller story real quick.
Yes.
It's a decent one.
All right.
When I was at San Diego Comic-Con a couple of years ago, I was sitting outside my hotel room in my pajamas because I was calling my wife to just say goodnight to her. And Jax and Bobby Elvis come walking down the hall. I'm sitting out there in my friggin' flannel pajamas, like, oh my God, any other time I would love to meet these guys. This is horrible. And so I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to like quietly. By the way, I'm not paying attention to my wife at all at this point. she's just talking and I'm just like, oh God, how am I going to handle this? And I'm like, all right, well, at least, you know, they'll walk by me and I'll forever think of this horrible missed opportunity. I would have loved to have met these guys. I'm such a big fan. And then they stop right in front of me, just talking to each other, oblivious of me being there. And I realize that they're staying in the two rooms across from me and that they're going to continue talking to each other because they both have to go to bed for like a good 10 minutes. So I'm sitting on the floor in my flannel pajamas and probably like a stupid Avengers t-shirt or something, like half going like, Well, I'm just trying not to like just be mortified of the fact that these two badass Sons of Anarchy or standing over me having a conversation, and it was a cool 10 minutes, and yet also one of the worst 10-minute stretches of my life.
That's tremendous. God, I love that show. It's one of Johnny's my favorites. And the trailer, they did a teaser trailer, was they posted on Facebook today, because this is the last season. Remember, FX, 7 seasons, done. The Shield, 7 years. Rescue Me, 7 years. Sons, 7 years. And what's Bobby Elvis's line, Johnny, that I always like to say? What did he say this past season? Do you remember?
Oh, you got to remind me, man.
It was when they were standing over in the scene where they moved to the ice cream parlor and Jax and Bobby are standing over the table. Do you remember what he said?
I'm drawing a blank.
Home is where the Reaper is.
That's right.
Best line of the whole show. And anyway, it's a great show. And I did an article last year. Before season six, it's in the archives on PlaceToBeNation.com. All right. You're wearing flannel pajamas? I just realized that. In the hallway?
Doing it right now, actually.
Is it like one of those long ones, like Charles Dickens? You dress like Ebenezer Scrooge. You have a little hat with a bonbon on it, too?
It's a really attempt at cosplay.
Yeah. My only attempt at cosplay.
How frightening would those two be as, like, the Ghost of Christmas Future Past or whatever?
Oh, Jackson, Bobby? Yeah, and then Clay. Or
kicking down your door, taking you around.
Oh, that's a great show. Final season on, and it's on Hulu. So, and it's on Netflix, I think, too. So,
yeah, they haven't added the last season of Netflix yet because I've been watching.
I don't think it's out yet.
Netflix. No, it's not.
Season six isn't out yet, right, Johnny? On a Blu-ray yet?
No.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
They, I think they always do it about a month before.
Yeah, the show's incredible.
Right. Yeah, because for me, because I've been watching on Netflix, so I always scramble to catch up in time for the new season. I've yet to, but this year I'm going to because I want to watch the final season live.
I love it. Awesome show. Anyway, him and Johnny Drama both losing to Brain from Pinky and the Brain. So come on, people. But seems like every 90210 character that's in a poll will advance because I think Brandon is in the top four in one of the other ones. So anyway, PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right.
Big Bird for the win. Okay, let's go on.
Okay. All right. For those that listened to episode, I believe it was episode 10, we did something. It was right before NXT did their takeover show, which was very good, by the way. Not as good as Arrival, but very good. We broke down the NXT roster. I picked and chose certain – I didn't do the whole roster because there's a lot of jobbers on there. I picked and chose certain guys, and we talked about whether they had a future or if they didn't. Tonight we're going to do that as we're at the exact halfway point of the 2014 calendar year. I'm gonna throw not the whole roster because there are some scrubs on here. I'm going to throw some guys on the roster and gals to all you guys, and you guys tell me, in your opinion, how good their first 6 months were and what do we expect from the next 6 months. All right? Benjamin, we'll start with you. Adam Rose.
Adam Rose. Was he Leo Kruger at the beginning of the year, or has he been Adam Rose the entire year?
Oh, God. He was more jacked when he was Leo Kruger. Because that's old pictures.
Right? Yeah, he lost a lot of definition.
He was definitely ripped.
Adam Rose got off to a really hot start in NXT. I was in the tank for the guy. I thought he was great. I thought it didn't matter that he wasn't much of a worker. I thought, here's a guy who's going to go up to the main roster and basically fill the Santino position. Got to the main roster. Even the vignette seemed cool. But like Aaron said earlier in this show, just kind of petered out because it wasn't being well produced. Hasn't really connected with the crowd. Although I think that's a little overstated. I think his quote-unquote lack of connection with the crowd is a little overstated. I do think he's over, not as over as they want him to be. I don't see the next 6 months going well for him. I think he is a shiny object who they're no longer interested in. Best case scenario, I think he hangs around the roster as the only thing that might save him is the fact that Santino just went down. So they may give him another shot, plug him in purely as a comedy guy. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, he ends up as Xavier Woods and gets bounced back down to NXT with the occasional main roster appearance. So his ceiling's not that high, but his floor is very, very low.
Okay. Aaron. AJ.
I think the first part of the year was pretty solid for her. It was fine that she took time off. And I think they're going to keep pushing her. I don't know if there's ever a chance that there's going to be a Punk connection from her. Mm-hmm. But I feel like she's probably someone they'll at least try to keep happy. And she's pretty good at what she does. And I like her in the babyface role now. So I think there's good potential there.
Okay. Johnny. Alberto Del Rio. Or can I say it the Zeb Coulter way? Alberto Del Rio. And the way Matt Rotella says it all the time, too.
I think Del Rio is definitely in the twilight of his WWE career. I mean, he's kind of had a middle-of-the-road year. It's not like he dropped down all that much. They put him where they need him most times.
Right.
I think by the end of the year, he might eat. I don't know when his contract runs out. I from what I hear, it's sooner than later.
I thought it was the end of July. I thought it was the end of this month. Maybe it's the end of August.
Might be.
I don't think the contract gets to the end of the year, but maybe they sign him for a per diem deal, or I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there's been talks of retirement with him or going back to Mexico. And if he does overall, I mean, career-wise, even this year, I mean, it was a middle-of-the-road career. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't great. I mean, it was good. It was decent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I see him. Same place he's always been this year, right in the middle.
Pretty much. Willie. Bad News Barrett.
Ooh. Boy, he was someone who got over, going back to what Ben said in the first segment, you know, he got over with the fans huge. I think his first couple months were kind of lagging, where all he was doing was the promos on the big pedestal or whatever that was. But as he got back into the ring and he would be doing his promos on the way to the ring, that's when he really started connecting with the fans. It is a shame what happened to him, because I think, you know, he was that going to be that stalwart in the middle of the card, and you know why they're having this battle royal now. So it is a shame what happened to him. I don't know how long he's going to be out. I haven't heard anything really about that, but I think he will be a guy who can pick it right back up when he comes back. He'll get a huge pop when he returns.
Okay. Benjamin? Big Show.
I forget he's on the roster sometimes. He is, for someone who's so, well, big, he just becomes invisible. He takes so much time off, whether it's due to injury, whether it's due to filming something. Hasn't really done much in this first part of the year. Had the feud with Lesnar that was a joke. didn't do anything in the Battle Royal other than get picked up by Cesaro. And I think what we saw from him at WrestleMania is pretty much his role moving forward. I think they're easing him finally into the attraction role, where he's there to have the occasional match and to put over the younger guys. Mm-hmm. He's so wildly unpredictable just in terms of his presence, but it does seem he's usually around in the fall. I don't think he will be back. I think basically 2013 saw the end of him as a world title contender, given how badly that feud with Orton tanked. So I think we'll see him back in the fall. We'll see him working with some of the younger guys. I definitely see Rusev in his future. And I think he'll start getting ready to call it a career. And I think, you know, for someone who, listening to you guys' vaults over the last few months, someone who came into WWF with so much potential, seemed to go nowhere with it, I think he bounced back very nicely mm-hmm. in the second two-thirds of his WWE career. And I think when he does hang it up, he can be proud of what he did.
Aaron, I'm going to give you this guy because I really don't feel like hearing Ben with his subjective sugariness. So I'm giving him to you. Bo Dallas.
I think he's going to be the Intercontinental Champion after Battleground.
You son of a bitch.
Boom! Sabotage! The K&M connection rides again.
I don't want to know which one of you is Tom Zink. So
hey, I'm the model. All right, let's get that.
Yeah, that's true. You're stuck with the Zink role there, Morris. So,
no, look, and for all the reasons we talked about before, I think that he has got Honky Tonk Man screaming all over him. I just think it just fits. And given the fact that they don't seem to care at all about the Intercontinental title, like I think that's where it's going. And I think he'll probably hold it for a while. I enjoy the gimmick. Like, if for anything else, that video he has with the birds and the graduation gets me every time. But I don't love him in the ring. So I think they're going to put the title on him. I think he'll be a solid part of the show. He'll always be on, at the very least till the end of the year. After that, he'll be like every other Intercontinental champion. Like, he'll just be done. He'll be Ezekiel Jackson or any one of the number of people that they just don't know what to do with after they lose the belt. But for now, I think it's good. And I'm sorry. I know.
All right. John. Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. First half of the year, it's kind of what I knew this guy could accomplish, or at least what I felt he could, that he brought himself to with Cena's help, to pretty close to that main event level. And I think the next 6 months he's just gonna keep getting better. I mean, I think he's the best talker they have. And I think the Jericho feud will definitely elevate him even more. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know if he'll ever be a world champion, at least not in the next 6 months, but he's gonna definitely hover in that main event area.
Mr. Willie.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar.
Ooh. Well, we have not even seen him since WrestleMania. I think that his going to WrestleMania was rather weak. The moment of beating The Undertaker for 3 seconds was an all-time moment. So if we're talking the first 6 months of the year, I think he had a really, really strong 3 seconds. Going forward, I think he's going to be the focus of the company for a good few months. I think with him and the combination of Paul Heyman are excellent. I'm really strongly hoping that WWE has him under a contract, which will allow him to appear more often than he has in the last couple of years. It doesn't mean he has to be on every single week, but he can't just show up for pay-per-views or, you know, one-offs during the in-between time. If he can be there, you know, twice a month, I think it will be huge. Beating up a few guys, doing a little interview. He is one of the few guys for me personally, and I know other people will argue this with me, but I get excited to see him come back. I'm excited to see him in a match because I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. Benjamin. Cesaro.
I was trying to figure out alphabetically who I was getting. I was hoping
I do it the easy way. I do it the easy way. That's why I'm not doing them all.
No. Cesaro is a really interesting case. I think you're going to be hard-pressed to find a few guys out who are not named Daniel Bryan who had a hotter early part of the year than Cesaro. Going into WrestleMania, the build-up to Elimination Chamber when he was having incredible matches on TV every week, the crowd was getting on his side like crazy, the swing was over, he was coming out with Zeb and Swagger and still getting huge pops. I was worried they were going to bobble the ball with him going into WrestleMania as it seemed like he had no direction. Then when he won that Battle Royal, I was like, sky is the limit for this guy. Mm-hmm. I still think the potential is huge. I do think he has fallen into an unfortunate position of almost being the Randy Savage to a lot of other guys' potential Hulk Hogans. He's behind Roman Reigns in the pecking order. He was behind Daniel Bryan in the pecking order. It doesn't feel, at least to me, it doesn't feel like there's any time in the near future when Cesaro is going to be the guy. I just think he's a good second in command. He's also, I guess you could say, the Randy Orton to everyone else's John Cena. I think I never thought I'd say this about anybody, but I think putting him with Heyman may have been a mistake.
I agree, actually.
He was so white hot, ready to turn babyface. And then this tweener thing where people kind of like Heyman, but they also know he's a heel and they react to him that way. I think it's stunted him the last couple months. I think the next 6 months are going to depend very largely on the last guy Steve just talked about, and that's Brock Lesnar. If Cesaro gets the chance to step up, turn face, and feud with Lesnar, I think there's huge, huge potential for him. I think if he
the sound of that feud.
Yeah, I would love that feud. I think if he just lingers as Heyman's number two guy while the focus is on Brock, that wouldn't be good. So I think I think the potential is still huge for him. It all depends on how they handle the eventual face turn and if they have enough faith in him to feud with Lesnar. I'd like to see it.
Okay. Aaron. Chris Jericho.
Well, there's no beginning half,
right?
I guess.
Okay.
I
great podcast. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Has been a good podcast.
I wonder if they. I'm glad he's feuding with Bray Wyatt. I feel like they maybe brought him in so someone could finally lose a feud to Bray Wyatt, which would be nice. I think he'll have a great little feud with Wyatt, and then I think he'll probably be gone. I don't see him lasting the whole year. I don't have any details in his contract or anything. But like a guy like him, I feel is much more suited to the come in, do a few months, leave. Because there's just really nowhere for him to go. You're not going to make him champion. So have him come in and feud with someone, keep that interesting, and go from there.
Well, Johnny, you alphabetically hit the mother load here. You ready?
I'm ready.
CM Punk.
Well, what do we have? 1 month of them in the first 6 months? And you could kind of, I mean, I got the feeling he did seem burnt out. His performances weren't quite where they were the previous years. So, I mean, that's as much as you could say with the first 6 months. Granted, he's probably the most talked about guy in the last 6 months without doing much.
Yeah.
Next 6 months, I think you're going to continue to hear about CM Punk because, I mean, all this guy has to do is tweet and he gets a huge reaction. I don't know. I mean, it's still a wild card because, Punk is just one of those types of guys where he may just decide he wants to come back or we may never hear from him again. So I really can't predict the next 6 months with Punk. Personally, I hope he does come back.
Oh, I do too. And two things. Number one, obviously I mentioned him because he's still on the Superstars roster on the page on WWE.com. And secondly, his contract, I believe, officially is up 1 week from tomorrow. The 17th, I think, is the date they keep throwing out there. Pretty sure. Willie, I'm going to give you one just as equally as enigmatic. Daniel Bryan.
Ooh. You know, I was going to complain that I didn't get CM Punk because Ben should have gotten Cameron alphabetically.
Oh, there's plenty of divas left. Trust me. He may get Eva Marie when I get to the E's, so don't worry about it.
Jordan Duncan's doing a whole supplementary podcast on the divas.
Yes.
On Facebook with Andrew Riesch, and no one's listening.
What's listening?
Daniel Bryan had quite possibly the hottest first few months of anybody since, gosh, I don't even know. Like, there was no one more over in January and February going into WrestleMania. And circumstances and booking really took that away in WrestleMania. And, of course, this injury, which is very frightening, and we don't know what is going to happen to him the next few months. I don't think he's going to be back for quite a long time at this point. You know, if you notice too, the last few weeks, no one is talking about him. Like, he's off. You know, once he did that interview, no one has really talked about him. You haven't seen any news really coming out about his condition at all.
The authority
real
doesn't
quiet.
The authority doesn't throw their digs anymore.
Nope. No, and yep. So I think that he is completely written out at this point of any storyline that they may have. And whenever he comes back, that will fit him back in. And he will be a guy that when he comes back, you can insert him anywhere. And he will be, again, as I mentioned with like Lesnar, he will be, Barrett, excuse me, he will be extremely over. You know, he was already getting just the amount of pops he got at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view with you guys was insane for just coming out and talking. And he will get that kind of reaction, if not better, when he comes back, and he can fit right in anywhere. We'll have to see how he wrestles. Mm. Now, I've been watching some old Ring of Honor, recently, like 2003, and he had a match with AJ Styles in 2003 that I was watching. People have been concerned about what will happen to his style, because he's kind of, you know, very fiery on the offense.
Mm-hmm.
He and AJ wrestled for a good 15 minutes doing, you know, nothing but mat work and a couple kicks here and there. And it was one of the most compelling matches I've seen in quite a while. I was like, I didn't remember who won. I was, you know, just staring at the television watching. So I think if anyone is capable of completely changing his style and getting a positive reaction, it will be him.
I think I saw that match. I think it's on the year one or year two.
Yeah, I would assume it is. It was really
DVD,
good.
And I think that's where I watched it. And I remember that match, Steve, and you're exactly right. The match is fantastic.
Yeah, it was. You know, I'm not a fan of Ring of Honor crowds. They're much better now, but back then they were awful. And,
yeah, they were. They were almost like out of. I think they were kind of in flux because a lot of them were displaced ECW guys.
Yes,
fans
absolutely.
Who were looking for the barbed wire and the hockey sticks and the frying pans and. They didn't know what the hell they were looking at, totally.
Yeah, that crowd was, for the first few minutes, like, quiet. But not like in a, like, non-interested way, like in a, wow, what is this? This is amazing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, like Japanese-style fans.
Yep. Benjamin. Dean Ambrose.
Oh, wow. I thought I was prepping for someone else. I got to stop trying to guess. I'm just gonna go off book. Dean Ambrose has really defied expectations, I think, of what the company had for him and what fans had for him. If you look at his first 6 months, fantastic in the role he was playing. And he was asked to play a lot of roles. He was the douchey heel. He was the guy everyone thought was going to turn on the Shield and then eventually became, you know, the team player on the babyface Shield. And finally, in the last few weeks, has morphed into this awesome, crazy, Roddy Piper, Brian Pillman-esque, like, just off-the-wall, nuts babyface. And he has excelled at everything. Mm-hmm. I think the first 6 months were basically Dean Ambrose's proving ground to say, whatever you throw at me, I'm going to be great at it. And I think, unlike some other guys who do very well and it falls on deaf ears, he's being recognized, he's being noticed. I think he was not planned to be a main eventer, but I think he will become a main eventer. I think because they have other priorities in the next few months, we may see kind of a cool off in the fall. I think they have other people they want to focus on, but if he keeps up the intensity he's had and he keeps showing, putting on the performances and the promos he has, mm-hmm. I think by this time next year, he will be solidly in the main event mix.
Aaron, Dolph Ziggler.
I keep getting these guys that I really like. completely underused as normal. Consistently one of the most over guys they have in every show. So that leads me to believe he will just continue to be unused and just jobbed at every occasion. I'd really like them to kind of like turn it around with him, but I just don't see it happening. It's like he's feuding with Fandango, but like, where is that going to go? At best, a secondary title, which he's already had them all a million times. Like, I just have no faith that they're going to do anything with him. And it's just a shame because he's so good and he's a decent talker. And if he's being punished for something backstage, I hate that bullshit. Like, I don't care if people don't shake hands. I just want the best wrestlers to be on my television. And that's it. And I don't see very good things for him coming up.
Okay. I think he's going to win the IC Battle Royal.
You're just wishful thinking.
I really am wishful thinking. That is quite true. That is quite true. Johnny.
I'm completely with you, Scott. That's what I'm hoping for.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Johnny. The Usos. I did that on purpose because you used to bash me about loving the Usos like last year.
Yeah.
And they've grown on you, haven't they?
They have. They've become one of the more exciting teams to watch. Their feud. Well, let me first 6 months. They've been solid, totally solid. And I think their rise started probably the latter half of last year. And first 6 months, they kind of stayed in that spot and. Mm-hmm. I see them continuing to be a prominent part of the tag division going forward. I mean, if you ask me, I would continue this feud with the Wyatts for another 3 months. Just let them keep draining titles. It has a very old, like you mentioned earlier, just a very old school tag team feud vibe. Mm. The Usos, I don't see them breaking up anytime soon or anything like that.
I don't either.
Being a kind of the foundation of the tag division.
Steve?
Yeah.
John Cena.
Man, I'm trying to think. Boy, the beginning of the year, and I'm thinking of the Royal Rumble, you know, which I was at. He was, I think, the victim of circumstance in that he was hated more for what he represented. What the WWE was presenting against, you know, him and Randy Orton, the two guys who have been there for years and everyone wanted Daniel Bryan. I think that John Cena over the last few months has been a team player. He's been consistently putting on good to great matches. I'm not the biggest fan of his personality on screen or his character that is presented. But there's little things, and I made a note on Raw how much I enjoyed the interplay between him and Roman Reigns. With Roman Reigns, he kind of, in that first promo, the fans are chanting, it kind of threw him off. And Aaron, were they chanting, "We want Brett" at first when Reigns was talking?
Yeah, okay, and they kept putting up like Bret Hart coming up signs before all the baby faces came out.
And he kind of threw him for a bit, and then he you know, listened and said, yeah, you know, kind of turned it into Cena sucks. And he went and said, yeah, Cena does suck when I'm around here. And then, you know, kind of ad-libbed it. And then when they had the one-on-one face-to-face in the back, Cena went back and referred to that clearly again off script. And it's like, you know, pretty strong words out there. just little things like that, he's capable of doing if he's not cutting these, you know, just sappy, you know, poopy, as he would use, promos. But every time he's in the ring this year, I think for the most part, he's put on a solid, if not excellent match. Even that match at the Royal Rumble where, you know, we boot him out of the building. You go back and look at that, it was a decent match from his standpoint. So I think he is going to, you know, again, be the team player like he is right now, hold the belt for a while. If it is going to be against Brock Lesnar, probably have a spectacular match with him and, you know, continue to be in the upper tier. You know, I hope that he'll take time off soon so he can refresh a bit and come back. When he does that, he tends to be doing a little better.
Benjamin.
Now, everyone in the quote unquote internet wrestling community now hates me.
They hate themselves.
It's so true.
Benjamin, I apologize for this one. I really do. The Demon Kane. I couldn't just say Kane. I was told to say the Demon.
I understand. You don't want lawsuits. I think Corporate Kane was actually probably the best thing that could have happened to him at this stage in his career, because it was an opportunity for him to be utilized as an enforcer, which is what he should be doing. Coming down, chokeslam guys, being backstage skits, that's fine. When they put the mask back on him and put him into this demon phase where he's now supposed to be once again a dominant in-ring monster, it was a mistake because he can't back it up anymore. He
right.
can't back it up physically. He could do the run-ins and he could put guys over, but he just cannot be the Kane of 2001. I think that his career is winding down. I think he's being used as he's been used more. I mean, this is the cycle with him. Build him back up as a monster, beat him back down. He's always gonna be over as much as he's over. I really do genuinely think that these next 6 months are going to begin, and a lot of people have been saying this for years, I do think this is going to begin his march to retirement. I think 2015 is going to be it for him. So I think we'll see him kind of get to the end of the road. He'll probably have one more babyface run. Could end up in the ring against Lesnar, which I don't think anyone wants to see. Ugh. And I kind of feel bad for Kane, because I think if he had called it quits even just a couple years ago, we'd all think of him as decent middle-of-the-line guy who had terrible storylines sometimes, but remained a good company guy. But
what longevity, too.
Exactly. Crazy longevity, rarely got injured, had a few pretty decent worker for a big guy, you know, never the best, but did okay. I think the last few months in the last year have tarnished him pretty badly. Mm-hmm. And I want to say he can pull back out for the remainder, but I'm not terribly optimistic.
Okay. Aaron.
Yeah.
Rowan and Harper. Just them.
Oh, tag team champions soon. And hopefully dominant tag team champions. The beginning of the year, I think, for them has been great, especially Harper. If you go back and watch that match with Bray Wyatt has with John Cena at WrestleMania, Harper really helps make that match. Just the facial expressions on that guy are just amazing. So I think they're going to pull the trigger soon, make them tag champs. And I'm very happy because I think they're a great team. They're fun to watch. And it's funny, like, they're not the team you would expect to be having great matches, but they're having awesome matches with the Usos. They had great matches with the Shield. So I think the rest of the year is going to be very friendly for them as a team. And I think there's probably more of a chance to push them as a team, not higher than Bray Wyatt, but more than Bray Wyatt. Because I forget who was talking about Bray Wyatt before, but like he's probably not going to be champion, at least in the next year. But Rowan and Harper definitely can really anchor and make that tag division great.
Mm, I concur. Johnny, The Miz.
Oh, you gave me a doozy on this one.
You like that one? Come on, I gave you a Punk. You're lucky you may not get any divas. So,
Miz, I mean, he really didn't have a great first 6 months. I'm struggling to even remember what he did.
He was gone for most of it. Well, no, I shouldn't say that.
But nothing of significance.
He had that weird face heel thing with Kofi.
Yeah.
For like a month or something. Yeah.
But it was pretty forgettable.
Yeah.
He came back, the comeback recently. I mean, it was kind of sacrificed to Jericho, but I do like the change in character.
Kind of like a lighter version of Rock 03.
Yeah.
Much absolutely. Lighter, but, you know.
You know, and there's the rumors that he's going to get paired with Flair, which, I mean, wouldn't be my choice of managers for Miz, but being paired with Flair I don't think will hurt him. So I definitely see the second half of the year for him being better than the first half. Probably still lingering in the mid-card, though.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, Willie, the last two you got were really, really good. So this one's going to be even better, but this is a serious one. This is not Naomi. This is not a joke. What's that?
Come on, Naomi.
That's exactly what I was going to tell you. Naomi.
All right. I like Naomi.
Me too.
She has grown on me. I did not care for her in the beginning of the Funkadactyl run. I know that was more last year. But she is one of, now that AJ is back, one of the three divas on the roster that I really enjoy, Paige being the other. And she does little things that I enjoy. You know, you're talking about Harper and his kind of facial manners. Aaron was talking about that. I think Naomi does that too if you watch her closely. She has some pretty interesting offense, and she's improving by leaps and bounds. So, Jordan, I am sorry for talking nice about a diva, but she is someone who I think is going to, once she gets past this thing with Cameron, do very well for herself, and I can definitely see her being a women's champion. Maybe not now, but 2015.
Okay. Now, Benjamin, you weren't going to go this whole thing without not having at least one diva, so. Nikki Bella.
Better than she needs to be. She could have a job for life, or at least as long as she's keeping Cena happy. She doesn't need to go out there and try. But in the last few months particularly, actually, especially since Bree's been gone, she's been putting in more of an effort. She busts out some pretty crazy moves for a Bella. Stuff like, you know, the torture rack, or she'll even do the, I think she's even used the burning hammer once or twice, which is insane.
Yeah.
So I think she's really making a concerted effort. I think a lot of people for a while thought, you know, Brie was the worker and Nikki was just the character, which Total Divas kind of bears out. But I think with Brie gone, Nikki's been trying to pull her weight. I think it's been good. I think she can provide some good veteran support for that Divas division. I don't think she'll be in the title mix. I don't think she needs to be. I think she's as close to, this is going to sound weird, but she's as close to as you get to an attraction in the Divas division. She's just more of a character. As far as the second 6 months, I think her fate is going to be linked to whatever her sister is doing as ever. But I would kind of like when or if Brie comes back, they keep them separated because they're very different. They're not the Bella Twins of 2008 when they were carbon copies of each other. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Scott, you allude to this in your column quite frequently. They don't look the same physically anymore.
That's for sure.
Yeah, and if there's one thing Total Divas has done, it's shown that they have different personalities as well. So I would like to see them maybe try to reflect that on TV rather than having them just be a tag team.
Aaron. Paige.
Very pale. Very pale woman. She had a pretty good first half, I guess, like for when she was there. Came out, won the title, which was cool. I like her in-ring work. I really loved her match with – I know it wasn't on the main roster, but I really loved her match at the – it's NXT Arrival, the first one, right, with Emma. I really enjoyed that. And I think a feud with AJ can do kind of nothing but good. And if we're going to have diva matches, which I don't mind so much, at least I find they're giving them an interesting story to go with, like the two of them. And I think we could get good things with her in the second half. A good feud with AJ. And if we bring in Naomi too, another worker, could be fun stuff.
John, this one's especially for you. Paul Heyman.
Oh, wonderful. I am a Paul Heyman guy.
Yes, you are.
You know what? He had a great first half of the year. I think he had promo of the year when he kind of calmed that Chicago crowd down. And his pairing with Lesnar, I mean, is perfect. I'm kind of in the same boat with you guys with the Cesaro pairing. I don't know. Sometimes I think it hurts Cesaro. Sometimes I think it helps him. I guess it depends on the week. As far as the next 6 months, I am looking forward to his DVD. But in terms of what he does on the roster, I think he'll definitely be heavily involved in the main event picture because of Brock. And that's it's a perfect spot for him. And I'd like to see them, just add one more person, to Cesaro and Lesnar. And maybe even add a diva. You know, I could definitely see him paired with Paige. I think that'd be pretty cool. But other than that, I think Heyman's just going to keep doing what he's doing.
Steve, you seem to be getting all these powerhouse main event guys. It's just the way the cookie crumbles. Randy Orton.
I am not. Randy Orton is a guy who I fast forward through, to be perfectly honest about. Mm-hmm. He's one step above Kane for me. He needs to be refreshed, to be out of the authority gimmick. He just, boy, you stumped me here. This is the first one I'm really stumped on. But in the past few months, he's been just kind of hanging on with the authority storyline. He's more just a kind of a pawn in the game, and he doesn't really, no pun intended, stand out on his own. And I think that it's going to be more of the same for him. He's someone who, I don't know if he needs a repackaging or just something different for him to make him worthwhile for me. In the WWE, he will be in the upper mid-card title picture for perpetuity until he gets injured or screws up his life somehow by, going on the drugs or doing something stupid.
Benjamin. I'm going to throw you a curveball because I'm not going to go alphabetically. You've talked about this guy enough. I'm going to give him to somebody else.
I figured.
So I'm going to give you Rusev.
Oof. Before I get to Rusev, let me just say that I was on mute, but I was applauding the Johnny Reckless pairing of Paul Heyman and Paige. That's one of the best ideas I've heard in a while. I think that's awesome. I think I would love to see that. But anyways, I won't stay there. Rusev, I have aired my feelings on Rusev before. I don't think he's terrible, but I don't think he's got it. I think he's Mark Merrow. I think he is the guy who is getting over because of the girl, and I think once they find something more interesting for her to do, he's going to flounder. I think he can work, but not steal shows. And I think at the end of the day, the problem is he's just not physically imposing enough to be the next Umaga or the next foreign heel menace. I think he's got a limited shelf life. He had a great first 6 months. He looked incredibly dominant. I think he will have a few more good months because they're behind him, but I can't see him ever making it to the level of, again, Umaga, who's the guy I compare him most closely to, and being a contender for the world title. At best, I could see him doing what you suggested, Scott, getting the U.S. title and running with that for a little while. That could have a decent shelf life, and that could definitely preserve his run. But I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in Rusev as a long-term prospect.
Okay. Aaron, Roman Reigns.
Well, great beginning of the year. Like we mentioned before, like, putting him, it'll be interesting to see
if he stays as over, not part of the Shield, or if it's he's over because of the Shield, I will say this, like, he didn't get a huge reaction Monday night in the live crowd. It was there, but it wasn't superstar, like super duper star level. And I think his fate entirely depends on how they handle the upcoming potential feud with Triple H. If it goes along the lines of how Triple H has been with the Shield, I think it will do nothing but good, and Triple H can really make him. And that's fantastic because we need that. If it goes along the lines of kind of any of the other kind of Triple H with the kind of hot guy matches, I think it'll hurt him. Now, how much it will hurt him, they're still going to push him, and I think he'll still end up as champion. But there's something to be said for someone becoming the champion when they're at their hottest. And I just hope they can sustain that. But nothing but good things for him coming up.
Okay. Last one, Johnny. Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins has actually exceeded expectations. He was obviously – he had a great first 6 months, as all three members of the Shield did. He obviously played his part of the guy who kept just all the energy in motion for their wild six-man matches. And the surprise with the heel turn, because obviously we all thought it was going to be Ambrose – and at first I questioned it. I think they actually made the right choice, though, because even this past Monday, when he was in the backstage segment with Cena, I mean, he's face-to-face with Cena, and he just felt like he belonged. I see him continuing to grow as a main event heel, and I think he's going to have a hell of a run as a main event heel, and probably an eventual babyface, too. Next 6 months, I do not see him cashing in because it looks like the main event picture is booked or kind of laid out. I don't see where he would fit in. I just see his feud with Ambrose continuing. And if they do it right, I mean, we could have these two elevate each other, kind of like obviously won't hit that level, but we never know, like an Austin Rock thing. Mm-hmm. Where they just they keep going. I'm loving the feud right now, and I think it's both of their abilities that are making it so good. So I see Ambrose just Rollins continuing to grow.
Now, Willie, I was going to make it fair, and everybody got the same amount of guys, but I wasn't going to give you Sheamus because I personally don't think anything's going to change with him in 6 months.
That is fine.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I think he's where he's at right now. He's the U.S. champion, and, you know, if they need someone to pop up in the main event in case of injury or anything like that, he'll be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be, you know, a workhorse on every show, and he's been, you know, on SmackDown main event and Raw.
So all the time.
He's a guy, and he's good for what he does, and yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll ever turn. Well, I'm sure he'll turn heel at some point.
Waiting for the heel turn that's never going to come.
That's never going to happen. Who will turn heel first, him or Cena? We'll all be dead before that happens. Gentlemen, it has been a pleasure. Well, time to wrap things up. An awesome edition.
To hear Andrew Reich's thoughts on Kofi Kingston and Summer Rae, look forward to the upcoming 50,000-word piece on PlaceToBeNation.com for all the people we didn't
cover.
And how
Jordan Duncan thinks Willie's an idiot for his comments on Naomi.
No, I do have one last thing to wrap up that I was, you know, hoping to share. I did this morning, and I had hung my head in shame because of my technical problems. But I do have the Jervis Cottonbelly tweet of the week.
Oh, and it is?
Well, you know, this is going to be put out probably on Friday morning, so it is apropos. Good morning, friends. Today, go out of your way to compliment someone you normally wouldn't. It'll warm your heart. You have my word.
That's nice. That's just
beautiful.
Nice.
So
it warms your heart.
So in 2 weeks, you can compliment Jordan and everything will be fine. on the fact that the lesbians are going to beat the hell out of him outside our studio. All right, guys, it's been a pleasure. We'll be back in 2 weeks when I return from the cruise, when Punk and Brock and who else cool will come back while I'm gone. Flair, Taker.
Vladimir Putin.
Yes. Paige will be a great heel, and oh, God knows what else. But in 2 weeks, we will flip the switch. Willie and Ben will not be joining us that week. Good luck. The other two will be back. Who can I get that can out-talk them? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Aaron, Johnny, thank you for joining us this week. You'll definitely both be on again very soon. So, for Steve Willie, Johnny Reckless, Aaron George, and Ben Morse, I'm Scott Criscolo. You've been in the main event. You may be better off than Naomi, but you're not better off than Paige or Jordan Duncan. Have a good 2 weeks. Have your eye and you're singing you a sad song. Dead man walking, go put a body bag on. I just want the gear that they never put a tag on. Hanging with the girls you can never get a hand on. Top, this ain't even my peak. And everything they said was out of my reach. So close now, did it all for the hometown. Time all year, we ain't skip the point now. Top, this ain't even my peak. And everything they said was out of my reach. So close now, did it all for the hometown. I'll be puffing out my chest. I'm around a heart check, screaming Hamel to the death. Toasting to the good life, I remember way back. Seeing Trump, wishing I could recreate that. Now we eating meals off $1,000 placemats. Five-star restaurants you couldn't even wait at. Others make cash, we make history. Who's so synonymous with victory? I'm on top, this ain't even my peak. And everything they said was out of my reach.